Welcome to Wealthability, where we learn how to make way more money and pay way less taxes. Hi, this is Tom Wheelwright, your host, founder of Wealthability, and I've got an important question for you. What if you could learn the one secret? I mean, this is truly a secret that's used by the wealthy to reduce or eliminate the taxes on the income you earn. We've used this one secret to help hundreds of clients reduce their taxes by millions of dollars. So today, you're going to discover how to reduce the rate of tax you pay in your income by using this one technique previously available only to the wealthy. Now, let's start by reminding ourselves about the tax law and how the tax law works. Because when we look at this secret, we're going to see that it may be secret, but this is not only legal, it's intended. Okay, it's not only legal, it's intended by the tax law. So let's start with Mr. Kiyosaki's cash flow quadrant and remind everybody that there are four ways to make money. One is to earn it as an employee. One is to earn it as self-employed. One is to earn it as a big business owner. And one is to earn it as a professional investor. Now, many of you also recognize that the tax rates seem to apply around the world to the different ways we earn money depending on how we earn it. So if we're an employee, we earn a good salary, we're typically going to pay 40%, self-employed 60%, business over 20%, and professional investor 0%. Today, we're going to look at a secret that the professional investors especially use. This is a professional investor secret. Remember, all really wealthy people are professional investors. Okay, all really, the wealthiest of all, they're big business owners and they're professional investors. And we're going to look at the one, actually big business owners do this too. So we're going to look at this one secret that applies to really the bee in the eyesight and only the bee in the eyesight. Okay, now there are some benefits, of course. Remember, you can be in the E and the S side as long as you behave. You've all seen this before. As long as you behave like the bee in the eyesight, you can have and use this secret. Okay? So in order to begin, what we're going to talk about, the secret is all about converting our income to a lower taxed income. In other words, there are actually four types of income. So let's look at these four types of income. Okay, here are the four types of income in the Internal Revenue Code, okay? And by the way, these are common to many countries. It's not just the U.S. Number one is what we call earned income. It's earned income, meaning that we used our labor to earn it, okay? It's earned income. Number two is what we would call ordinary income. Excuse me. Ordinary income. Now, the difference between earned income and ordinary income is that earned income tends to be subject to certain taxes that ordinary income is not subject to. So it's taxed at a higher rate. Okay, number three is portfolio income. Portfolio income in most countries, including the United States, is taxed at a lower rate than ordinary income. It's taxed at a lower rate than ordinary income. Finally, we have my favorite kind of income, and we call this kind of income exempt income. What I want to talk about now is how do we convert from one to another? Because remember, it's like when we talked about in deductions. The question is not, is it deductible? The question is, how do I make it deductible? Well, the question here is not, is it portfolio income? The question is, how do I make it portfolio income? The question is not, is it exempt from tax? It's the question is, how do I make it exempt from tax? So there are certain things that you can do to effectively eliminate taxes simply by changing the nature of the income. Simply by changing the nature of the income. So that's our goal. This secret, the whole idea behind this secret is to convert to a lower tax rate by changing the nature of the income. By changing the nature of the income. So let's start. We're going to go through these one by one, and then I'm going to go through some more detail on each of these, okay? So I'm going to go through them one by one, just the idea of it, and then I'm going to go through some details of how to do it. So I'm going to give you the secret, okay? Today, you're going to have the secret so that you can start building your tax strategy and your wealth strategy so that you can take advantage of this conversion process that really I've only seen the most wealthy do, okay? So I've seen people in the S quadrant do some of the earned ordinary to go from ordinary to portfolio. And for those of you who think of it as capital gains, we're going to talk about it as capital gains. To go from ordinary to capital gains is something I've rarely seen people successfully do, okay? It's actually not that difficult. And I'm going to walk you through the principles and the rules so that you know how to do it. Let's start by going from earned income to ordinary income, okay? So we're going to go from earned to ordinary. And the reason we're going to do that is because earned income is subject to a tax that ordinary income is not subject to. Earned income is subject to Social Security taxes. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? Because Social Security is there to replace our earnings. It's not there to replace our investment income. It's there to replace our earnings. So earned income is subject 100% Social Security tax. Think about if you're in the E quadrant, okay? If you're in the E quadrant up here, then you pay half of your Social Security tax and your company, your employer, pays the other half. When you go to the S quadrant, you pay you're both the employer and the employee. So you pay 100% of it, okay? As an employee, there's very little you can do except this one thing. The one thing you can do is convert from being an employee to being self-employed. Now, what does that mean? That means that what you may need to do is convert to independent contractor. If you want to reduce your Social Security tax, if you want to convert earned income to ordinary income and reduce your Social Security tax, you need to convert from being an employee to being an independent contractor. Being an employee to being an independent contractor. And here's why. Because as an independent contractor, being in the S quadrant, okay, in the S quadrant, now we can do something different. Now we can form an S corporation. Now you think, well, that's a coincidence, S quadrant, S corporation. It's actually not a coincidence at all. Subchapter S an S corporation is also referred to as a small business corporation. All we do is we form an S corporation. So first step, let's look at the steps. Step one. Step one is we have to become independent. Now that actually sounds like a pretty good thing to me, that we become independent. All right. Now, are there things we give up? We might give up health insurance. Okay, that's a big deal. So if we're going to convert to be an independent contractor, we have to work with our employer. We have to figure out how do we keep our health insurance. Okay, so that's something we have to look at. Something to sit down with your tax advisor and discuss. So we're going to become independent. Number two is we're going to form an S corporation. Now remember, the designation as a corporation is an election. Okay, so you could be a corporation for state law purposes or a limited liability company for state law purposes. And as a limited liability company, you can elect to be a corporation. So typically, we're going to look at that like this. Here you are, and you own this company. And we're going to do a triangle surrounded by a square to indicate this is an LLC tax as a corporation. And then, of course, what are we going to do? We're going to put a little S down here to signify it's an S corporation. Now, an S corporation is different from a sole proprietorship. Most people in the S quadrant form as a sole proprietorship. That is a mistake. That is a mistake. Do not form as a sole proprietor. Not only do you have unlimited liability towards anybody who sues your company, on top of that, you pay an unlimited Social Security tax. Unlimited Social Security taxes. So instead, we form an S corporation. Next, we have to establish and pay a salary. Who are we paying salary to? We're paying our salary to ourselves. Remember that in this company now, you serve two roles. You serve a role as an employee who works for the company, and you serve the role as an investor or owner of the company. Now, as an owner of the company, okay, we're going to do a little designation A. As an owner of the company, what do you get? You get dividends, or another word for it is distributions. Okay, so you get distributions. That's compensation for the risks that you've taken owning the company. As an employee, you get salary. So how much salary are you going to take? As little as you can that's realistic, okay? Because your salary, like I mentioned before, you're both, now you're an E and an owner, right? You're an employee and an owner. So as an employee, you're going to get taxed. You're going to pay Social Security tax, and your employer, that's you as the owner, okay? The employer is also going to pay Social Security tax. So you can pay both sides of the Social Security tax, okay? So you'd like that to be as little as possible. So how do you find that out? Well, the question is, what would you pay someone else? What would you pay someone else to do your job? What would you pay someone else to do that job? Not the owner's job. Remember, as the owner, you've got all sorts of jobs anyway. You're protecting the company. You're watching out for the company. As an employee, though, if you hired an employee to do your job, how much would you pay them? Typically, what we find is that the IRS is pretty comfortable if you pay at least 50% of the amount you take out of the company, of at least 50% of salary. Okay, if at least 50% of salary, you're pretty safe. Now, that doesn't mean it can't be less of a salary. What it means is if all else fails, pay yourself 50% of salary. Okay, just pay yourself a reasonable salary. That's all we're talking about. So it has to be reasonable. Reasonable is the word. A reasonable salary. What would you pay someone else? When you do that, you can see, if we had $100,000 of earnings, let's say we had $100,000 of earnings, if we were a sole proprietor, you know, we could pay, I mean, we pay a lot of tax. I mean, let's say that the rate, now the rates change from time to time, so in our fast facts, we have the rates. But as an example, let's say the rate was 16%, okay? So at 16%, you'd pay $16,000. Okay. On the other hand, if your salary is only half of that, you'd only pay $8,000. So we save $8,000 of Social Security tax simply by being an S corporation instead of being a sole proprietor. Okay, once again, we can save easily half of our Social Security simply by being as an S corporation rather than forming as a sole proprietor. This is the function of converting from earned income to ordinary income. We do the work, it's earned. However, we convert half of it to ordinary income simply by the type of entity that we choose. Okay, simply by the type of entity we choose. Now, there are other ways to do this. I wanted to give you the most common example of how we do this one. Now, let's look at the second one. Now, let's say we've made it, we got ordinary income, right? We're in an S corporation. What do we do to make it portfolio income? Here we go. So, we're going to convert now ordinary to portfolio. When we're talking about portfolio income, there are actually many types of portfolio income. We're talking about the tax preferred types of portfolio income. So for example, normally, interest income in most countries, including the U.S., is portfolio income by definition. It's just not, it has no preferential tax rate, okay? However, the two types of portfolio income that have a preferential tax rate are long-term capital gain and dividends. We are going to focus our attention on long-term capital gains. And the reason we're gonna focus on long-term capital gains is this is the easiest way to convert. It's much more complex to convert to dividends than it is to long-term capital gains. It's not that difficult to convert from ordinary income to long-term capital gain depending on what the income is. Let's look at what's the difference fundamentally in the tax law between ordinary income and portfolio income. And it's really very simple. Ordinary income comes about because of effort. Ordinary income comes about because of effort, whereas portfolio income comes about as a result of time. So you're going, wait a minute, I mean, how do I convert if I earned it, how do I turn it into time? Okay, well, I'm going to give you some examples of how you convert it from ordinary income to time. All right, let's start with a business. Okay, so here you are. You are over here, and you're in the S quadrant. You're in the S quadrant. So you have this business over here, and it's an S corporation, right? It's like we were talking about. It's in a small business corporation, or subchapter S corporation. All right. Now, you want to convert that income. Here's what you do. All you have to do, so this is, I'm going to go from business, in this case, I'm going to go from business income, and I'm going to convert to capital gain. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to reinvest, except for the small salary I take, because I got to live on something. I'm going to if I earn $100,000, let's take an example here. I earn $100,000. Better yet, you earn $100,000. You earn $100,000. You pay $50,000 of salary, right? Which is going to be taxed as ordinary income, earned income, actually. Okay, so $50K. Goes up here to you so that you can live on it. And then what you're going to do is, so that leaves, that means that you have an expense for your corporation of $50,000, right? Which means what are you left with? You're left with $50,000. What are you going to do? You're going to reinvest that money into the business. Okay, you're going to hire employees, you're going to buy equipment, you're going to expand. You're going to use all of your money to expand. The money you use to expand is deductible. So if you put that money back in, we have another $50,000 deduction, and we have no taxable income in the company. Okay, so then what happens? We keep reinvesting the money. Now, you don't have to reinvest all of it. Some of it you can leave as be ordinary income. You have a choice here as to how much you convert to capital gain. Because what's going to happen is at some point, you're going to sell the business. When you sell the business, you're going to get capital gain. So if you want to convert ordinary income to capital gain, portfolio income that's taxed typically at half the rate of your ordinary income, half the rate of your ordinary income, once again, half the rate of your ordinary income in most countries, not just the US. This is very common around the world. You want to do that, you just reinvest all of your money into the company. You don't keep any of it for yourself, except what you need to live on. You keep reinvesting. Eventually, then you build up this company and you sell it. Then what happens? Well, when you sell it, you get capital gain. When you sell it, you get capital gain. And a little bit, when we talk about going from capital gain to exempt income, we'll talk about business again. Okay, because we can convert that capital gain to tax-exempt income. I'm going to show you an amazing rule that allows you to convert that to exempt income. Okay, but first, let's look at, let's say it's not your business. Let's say instead, let's say what you do is, let's say that you buy real estate. You're a real estate investor. In other words, what you really want is to be over here on the I side. So you're buying real estate. Well, if you buy real estate and you flip it, if you flip real estate, is that effort or time? It's clearly effort. Okay, you flip the real estate. has nothing to do with time, because you're doing as fast as you can, right? So it's effort. Well, that's earned income if you're a sole proprietor. Now, of course, you're not going to be a sole proprietor now. You're going to be an S corporation. So you're flipping properties. You're still paying ordinary income rates, which, except that you're not paying full Social Security taxes, you're paying the highest taxes there are. Well, how would you change? What would you have to change to go from effort to time? It's easy. All we have to do in a real estate is we need a renter. We just convert it to rental. When you rent, what are you doing? You're renting time. Okay, so now what we're doing is we're converting, if when we sell that property, we're going to hold it for a year and a day because we have to do that. When we sell it, we're going to get long-term capital gain. So all we have to do is convert from flipping, okay, this is flipping, to rental. We're just going to convert from flipping to rental. Okay, now, when we convert from flipping to rental, all of a sudden, our rental income, because of deductions, we really shouldn't have any taxable income there. And the gain is going to be long-term capital gain because now it's rental because we've gone from effort to time. And again, we'll show you, next slide, we'll show you how to go from capital gain, tax preference to capital gain, to exempt with real estate as well. What if we've decided we at first we're flipping? Let's say we bought this 1,000-acre parcel, and or we own this, we inherited this 1,000-acre parcel. Maybe it's farmland, and we go, you know what? I'm going to subdivide this. Well, if we subdivide it and sell those lots, what is it? Well, that's going to be business income. That's flipping, right? We're subdividing the lots. That's development. That's flip. That's business income. We change our minds. We go, oh, the market's not very good. I'm not going to do that anymore. We change our minds. Can we do that? Yes, we can. What we call that is, you know, watch very carefully here. A change of intent. A change of intent. Our intent determines how we're taxed. So are we intending to do it through effort? In other words, we may not be intending to do it through our effort, and it might just happen. So for example, let's say that we have a property, we've held it for, we still have to hold it for a year and a day. We've held it just over a year. And somebody comes by and we don't market it. We don't do anything to it. They just come by and buy it and say, I want that. That's going to be capital gain. Okay. That's going to, our intent was to hold it. We didn't go out and actively market. Okay. Now, so in our situation where we've got 1,000 acres and we've subdivided it. In other words, all we did was do the plat. All right. We didn't turn dirt. We didn't do anything else. We subdivide and we go, man, the market's changed. I can't do this now. And so we just hold it and we decide, you know what? We're just going to hold it. So we've changed our intent from selling it. Now, if we'd sold those lots, we would have gotten ordinary income. But if we change our intent to holding it for a long period of time. This happened, by the way, this happened, there's a court case that this happened with these guys. They'd taken this land that was had been drilled out as oil land, and they were rehabbing it so that it could be turned into housing lots. And then 2008 happened, and total crash, right? Everybody crashed and burned. So they couldn't, there was no demand at all for housing back then. So what they do, they just held it. And several years later, they sold the whole thing. They said, you know what? We're done. We sold the whole thing. They sold it to a developer. Well, when they sold it, the court held. Now, the IRS said, look, you had planned. You'd subdivided. You'd done this work on it. Okay. You'd planned to be selling it. So that's ordinary income. The court said, no, it's not. You can change your intent. And clearly, they changed their intent because they did nothing more on it. They did nothing more at all. Okay. They had a developer come. You know, I think it was like 2014. Developer comes and goes, man, I want this property. This looks like great property. I'll take it off your hands. I just want to buy the whole thing. Okay. And turns out the developer could have even taken it down one piece at a time, and it still would have been capital gain. There's a case on that too. So my point is that we have to show the intent. Okay. So we do need documentation on this. This is something that we have literally saved millions of dollars on just single clients. Think about the difference between if you take if you could go from a 40% to a 20% tax rate as an example, okay, and the tax rates change and they're always in our fast facts, but if you go from a 40% to a 20% rate, you just saved half of your taxes. If you had a $2 million gain, and you had a $2 million gain and you went for, and a $2 million gain would be taxed 40%, that would be $800,000. Well, you save half of that. You saved $400,000. So this is a lot of money. It's a lot of money, particularly in the real estate area. But you can see, you can do it in the business area. Now, does this require you to actually make some changes to what you're doing? Yes, it does. So this is why doing tax strategy, long-term tax planning, long-term tax planning, where you're looking down the road, is absolutely critical to reducing your taxes. Now, let's say that you're going along, you're doing your tax plan, you've got ordinary income. You converted from earned income to ordinary income. You're flipping you're developing your lots, you're flipping. Then all of a sudden the market turns. You have to lay everybody off. You just hold that for 5 years until the market turns around. Well, now you can establish. Now you've got a change in situations. You can establish that now you changed your intent, if you want to change your intent. Now, we can do one step further. We can actually split a property between the effort portion and the time portion. Now, you imagine, boy, that sounds complicated. It is. This is where you sit down with a tax advisor who specializes in real estate. Okay, seriously, folks, you sit down with a tax advisor who specializes in real estate. And you go, look, I understand. I was doing this course and doing this wealth ability course. And what I learned there was that it's possible that even though I'm developing the property, that the portion of the gain that's the result of time, if I do it right, I can get taxed at capital gains rates. Show me how. Now, they say, I have no idea what you're talking about. Then you just say goodbye. Thank you very much. And you go to the next real estate tax advisor and you ask them until you find somebody who knows how to do it. I tell you, I've done it a number of times. So it's very, very doable. And there are court cases on it. All right. So shifting from ordinary income to capital gain, does that take a change even in business strategy? It might be. Remember, our business strategies change because of circumstances. So when you have that change, remember, all's not lost. There may be tax benefits from that change. Just understand that this is possible. I can go from ordinary to portfolio and get taxed at the long-term capital gains rates. Just know that you can do that, okay? So you're going to want to watch this, listen to it over and over again so that you get this in your mind. What do I have to do? It's effort versus time. It's effort versus time. Effort, I get taxed one way. Time, I get taxed another way. It's all about changing intent. Changing your intent. If you're going to go If you're going to change from effort to time, you have to document that change of intent. All right, now, let's go to the next one, because I love this next one. The next one, what we're going to do is we're going to convert from portfolio to exempt. Now, in order to be exempt, it has to be special type of income, okay? Because there aren't a lot of exempt incomes, okay? So there are special rules that you have to follow, okay? So I'm going to give you two of those rules, and these are ones that I will tell you that typically I share with very sophisticated clients. So you're learning a very, very sophisticated strategy here to go from portfolio to exempt. Let's start with business, right? So here we are. We started out as an S. So we're a small business. We're just starting out. We think that we might be able to sell this down the road, this business, for several million dollars. Now, there's a rule. It's Section 1202. Section 1202 says, if you form as a C corporation, okay, you cannot form as an S corporation. So if you're going to do this, remember you have to form as a C corporation. And you hold the stock for 5+ years. Then the result is no tax on gain. So literally, we've gone from portfolio, because when we if we sold it normally, we would pay long-term capital gains rates, right? To no tax or exempt. Okay, now this is a very special rule. Like I said, the rules to go from portfolio to exempt are very specialized rules. They're very, very specialized rules. This is one. As a business owner, we can do this. Okay, now there are certain types of businesses that don't qualify. My business is one of them. Accounting, my CPA firm can't do it. Okay, law firm can't do it. All right, architecture, engineering, there are a bunch of others, can't do it. Okay, if you're an independent contractor, you can't do it. However, if you're at, let's say you're an Amazon reseller. Let's say that you are a technology company. Let's say you're developing applications for, you know, mobile phone applications. Any of those you could do this with. Or it's a retail store. Most industries, most types of businesses qualify for Section 1202. So if you have this very distinct business plan, you go, look, we're going to sell this for 5, 10, 20 million, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4 of us down the road, absolutely should consider Section 1202, especially if the corporate tax rates are low. Okay? If the corporate tax rates are low, then you don't lose a lot, okay, by being a C corporation in the first place, right? So that's business. Now let's look at what if you were a real estate investor. I'm going to give you the rules for this one instead. Okay? So let's say instead you're a real estate investor and what you've got is you've got some real estate. You're going, you know what? I'm just holding this. I'm renting it, right? I've got my rental. I've got my rental income. And I want to go from rental which when I sell it, it's going to be long-term capital gain. And I want to go to exempt. Here's how you do it. We have a code section referred to as section 1031, which is also called like-kind exchanges. Okay, I'm going to walk you through that, but how it goes to exempt. Now, a lot of people go, well, if I just do a 1031, that's just deferring it to later. Eventually, I'm going to sell that property. I'm going to pay tax. Not necessarily. So I'm going to walk you through a strategy for doing this. Okay, and some of you have seen this. I talk about it in Tax-Free Wealth, and some of you have seen this demonstration. I think this is one of the most important strategies you could ever have. We'll go to a new screen here. A friend of mine who's a professor at Southern California calls this the buy, borrow, die strategy. Buy, borrow, die. Now, he typically talks about in the stock market. I'm going to tell you, it is way better in real estate. It's way better in real estate. We're going to talk about buy, borrow, die. So what do? Okay, so we're going to start. We start our investing, and what do we buy? We buy little greenhouses, right? After a while, we're tired of little greenhouses. We're going, I'd like to sell, which ordinarily I'd pay long-term capital gain because I've been renting these houses. I'd like to sell, but I don't want to pay tax now. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to do a like-kind exchange, and you go, you know what, I'd like some bigger properties. What I'd like is I'd like a couple of apartment buildings. Right, so I got multiple doors here instead of just single doors. So I've got a bunch of apartment buildings, okay? And no, those aren't teeth. Those are doors, okay? So I've got apartment buildings now. No tax on this exchange. This is called, like I said, this is called a 1031 exchange. Okay, now I keep going. And I'm going, okay, man, now I'm in my later years, okay? We'll call them later years. You go, you know what? I really, really don't want to have apartment buildings anymore. What I'd really like is I would like a big box store like Walgreens or Walmart or Safeway. I mean, all of these, okay? But what we call it is we call it a triple net. So it's an NNN, triple net, okay? Net of expenses, taxes, I can't remember all of them. It's triple net lease because we don't pay any expenses. All we pay is the mortgage. That's it. We just pay the debt service, all right? So it's a triple net lease. Well, that's great. Another way to call that is I like to refer to that as mailbox money, right? That's mailbox money. Pretend that's a mailbox, okay? That's mailbox money. So money just comes in, and it's great. We go off. All right, now, eventually, what's going to happen? Well, first of all, we're going, oh, wait a minute, okay, I postponed this, right? But how do I get cash out of this? Well, there's two ways we're going to get cash out of this. The first one is we're going to get cash flow from the rents. And we're not going to pay tax on the cash flow because of depreciation. Okay, depreciation is going to offset our tax. We do this right, we won't pay tax on our cash flow. So that means that that's zero tax. So the cash flow is not taxable. Number two is the gains. Those aren't taxable. Okay, but where am I going to get my cash? Well, what I'm going to do is, in addition to my cash flow, I'm going to borrow. Now, money that we borrow is not taxable. And the reason is because it's not ours. We have to pay it back. So how are we going to pay it back? We're going to pay it back through the appreciation. At what point are we going to pay it back? Well, we're going to pay it back at the very end of this example. What are we going to do? We're going to pay it back when we die. The final solution, death. Okay? It's going to happen to all of us. And we're going to die eventually. And when we die, all of a sudden, that 1031 exchange becomes exempt. So we've deferred or postponed until now it's exempt. We have what's called a stepped-up basis, okay? So whatever that Walgreens worth when we die, that's the amount we can sell it for and not pay any tax. So we've got all this appreciation over the years. We borrowed out money. We can pay that back when our kids sell the Walgreens, okay? They decide they want to sell the Walgreens. Then they pay off that debt. Okay, all the debt we borrowed and lived on over the years, no tax. Buy, borrow, die. This is simply a way of turning investment or portfolio income, long-term capital gain, into non-taxable or exempt income. Non-taxable or exempt income. So what I've shown you over the last little while is how do we convert income from a high-taxed income to a lower-taxed income. Eventually, should we choose to, we can actually convert it to a no-tax income. We can actually convert it to a no-tax income. We can do this, by the way, there are ways to do this in any type of investment. All we have to do, here's what we're going to do. Just remember what we're going to do. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to go from earned to ordinary. And we're going to do that through entities. What entity do we use? Okay. Then we're going to go from ordinary to portfolio, and we're going to do that through intent. Okay, remember this ordinary is effort. Portfolio is time. Effort versus time. Change our intent from effort to time. Then we're going to change from portfolio to exempt. And we're going to use this, we're going to do this through special tax provisions. What are these special provisions for it? They are to encourage certain activity. Remember, the tax law is a series of incentives to encourage activity the government wants you to do. So let's talk about, for example, on the exempt, we have Section 1202, stock. What is the government saying? They're saying, we'd like you to build new businesses that are going to have significant gain. That's what they're saying. They're saying, with real estate, we'd like you, 1031 exchange, we'd like you to keep investing your money in real estate, and we'd like you to buy more real estate. Now, there are very special rules on both of these, very, very particular rules, okay? 1202 stock, we talked about a few of them. You have to be a C corporation. You have to own it for more than 5 years. 1031 exchange, okay? When you sell it, you have 180 days to buy that new property, okay? And there are other special rules in there. So be very, very careful. Anytime there are special rules, then they're very detailed. You must dot your I's and cross your T's, okay? Dot your I's, cross your T's. And we always must have, what do we always must have? You got it, documentation. So we must document everything that we're doing. When we document what we're doing, then we can literally go from earned income all the way to exempt income, if we choose to do so. Now, my goal here is to show you what you can do. Your job is to decide, A, what do you want to do? Are you willing to take the steps that are required in order to get lower taxed income? And will you actually do it? Finally, do you have the advisor that you need to do this with you? Do not do these on your own. I want you to write down right now, I will not do these strategies on my own. I will not do these strategies on my own. I will not do these strategies on my own. These require, you know, they seem simple. These require expertise to make sure they're done right. Okay? So, like I always say, next to your spouse, the most important person in your life financially is your tax advisor. This is why. Can you imagine going from being taxed at 60 or 70% to being taxed at zero? 60 or 70 to zero. I mean, that's like magic. I've just shown you ways to do this. You may decide, oh, I want to go from earned to ordinary, and I'm going to stop there. I'm good at that point. Great. Guess what? Even then, when you sell your business, you're going to be taxed at capital gains rates. So you're still going to get some on top of your cash flow being taxed at ordinary income rates instead of earned income rates. Eventually, the gain on the sale of your business is going to be taxed at portfolio income rates. So you're going to be taxed at capital gains there. So that's a great thing. Okay? Let's say that's all you want to do. Great. Let's say you go, you know what? I don't want to pay any taxes. I want tax-free wealth. Now we start looking at 1031 exchanges. Buy, borrow, die. We start looking at 1202 stock. I want you to understand that this is possible. So make sure you go through this course several times. And make sure that your tax advisor goes through this course. Make sure your tax advisor understands these principles. It's very simple. Earned to ordinary, you're going to look at the entity. Ordinary to portfolio, you're going to look at intent. How do I change from effort to time? Portfolio to exempt, you're going to look at very special tax provisions like Section 1202, Section 1031, and others. Okay? When we do that, all of a sudden, all that money we've been spending on taxes can go towards building wealth. Think of all the money in that 1031 exchange that goes from paying taxes every time we turn a property to building wealth. And when we do that, we have way more money while we're paying way less taxes. Thanks, and see you next time.